I really enjoyed the worship today. I really did, because there's a lot of worship going on. You know, there's a lot of different types of music with different anointings and different spirits to song. And a lot of times we'll sing songs and we'll say those are worship songs, when in reality they may be praise, or they may be ministering songs, songs that minister. When people talk about the things that God has done in their lives, and those songs are more ministry songs, they minister to people. But a worship song, and we talked about this in the podcast a few days ago. By the way, if you don't watch Wednesday, you really, really should watch the Wednesday podcast. They're just really full of a lot of nuggets. Yeah. And I mean, we get a lot of feedback about how people love Wednesdays. And it's online. Just go online on GaryZamora.com, and watch. But worship is when it's all about Him. The song is all about Him. It's just adoring. It's magnifying. It's just giving God all the glory. It takes us out of the way, and Jesus becomes the middleman, the go-between. He becomes the foundation of who we are. And it's just all about God. It's just all about worship. So I really enjoyed the worship today, because it was worship. And all the other music is important, the ministry of music and all the things, but it's important, I think, to understand what worship is. A worship song is when it's all about Him, and we're kind of taken out of the equation, except that we're glorifying God, and we're giving God praise and glory and worshiping Him. And think about giving God glory. To me, that still blows my mind. I can give you glory. I can give you praise, and you receive it. You accept it. You know, I've said this a couple of times. In Cain's disorder, and in that he murdered his brother, the first murder recorded in the Word of God, one thing was important. If there was one redeeming factor, and God addressed it, He said, if you do well, He said, I'll receive your offering. But the thing that Abel and Cain both understood was that it was important that God would receive your offering. You hear that? It's important. I mean, we should never take the position that God, you know, I'm going to give you my praise, I mean, because you're worthy of it. I'm just going to go ahead and praise you. Yeah, you are worthy of it, after all. The attitude should be on the other side of the spectrum. God, that you would consider receiving my praise, holy and great God. And what it does is it shows you the great love of God and the great gift of Jesus Christ, that He redeemed us in such a way that the Father, who is holy, God is holy, above all, God is holy, that He would transform us into this image where we could give God an offering of praise and worship and sacrifice. Like Cain and Abel, we could bring an offering. And like Abel, God would receive our offering, because your ways please the Lord. It's a big deal. My ways please God. And we know that it's not by works, so we can't boast. And there's something so powerful about not boasting that we did it, because it grafts us into the nature that God did it, but He did it through us. And that's a very important thing. We're going to talk about that today. I want you to listen to the Word. I want you to hear the message, because it is seasoned with prophecy, the spirit of maturity, and what God wants us to hear and to see, to know and to understand. And a little prelude to that today, because I want your ears to be keen. I want you to hear. Father, we pray. Pray with me. Father, we pray today. Let us see your glory. That by your Spirit, we may reveal the glory we see. Pray it with me. Father, let me see your glory, that I may reveal by your Spirit the glory that I see. And beyond the faded glory of man. Say that, beyond the faded glory of man. Beyond that is your glory. Because if we die to ourselves, you've made us your planting. And your glory is revealed in place of the sacrifice you have honored us to be. So we thank you for that. And we praise you. Be pleased, Lord. Be pleased, Lord. Be pleased in me. Come on, come together. Be pleased in me, Lord. Be pleased. Now say this, let me be a pleasing experience to you, O God. Let me be a pleasing experience to you. Father, I praise you for everything. The redeemed by the Lord, the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Word says that He leads us in the way that we should go. God will lead you in the way you should go. Something really important that you need to understand in order to walk out in the fullness of what God has promised you in His Word. And His Word is never separate from prophecy, nor is the prophecy of the Word of the Lord ever separate from the Word of God. Same Spirit, same God, same Word. The Bible tells us that Jesus is called, His name is called the Word of God. So when you speak of the Word of God, you're not just talking about verbiage. You're not talking about a language. You're talking about something beyond that. You're talking about Jesus. You're talking about the one that redeemed you. And it's really important to know the one that created you. It's really important to know the one that redeemed you. It's important to know you. It's important to know the value of your existence. And sometimes we try to determine the value of our existence based on what we think we would like God to do in our lives, the prayers that we pray. And Jesus made it very clear. This is the right way to pray. Don't ask me to do your will. Ask that you would do my will. Another great miracle of God. We get to do the will of the Father. We get to do. We're honored to do the will of God. What is more incredible? Talk about coming into the union of faith with God. I get to do the will of the Father. And how many have read the scriptures, and you've probably heard me say it and a number of other people say it over and over. God wants to do a new thing. Is anybody ready for a new thing? I mean, we're just built to get bored, right? We're just built. I mean, God didn't make us to get bored, but He made us to do new things. And you and I all know we can get bored pretty quickly, pretty easily, if it doesn't stay exciting, right? And if you find that comfortable place, it seems like where you just set back, recline, and relax, you die. You get old and you die. And who wants that? But to live, the Word teaches us, is Christ. And so it's important to know, what does that even mean, to live as Christ? And then to understand that that institution is God's design. And what is that? To live is Christ. To have Christ live in me is really life. And what does that mean? And how do we even get that? And then the Word teaches us the Spirit of God. God will teach. The Word says He will instruct and He will teach you in the way you should go. He will instruct and teach you in the way that you should go. He will say it. He will instruct me and He will teach me in the way I should go. Now let's say something right up front here. You can hear a lot of message, a lot of word, and a lot of prophecy, and you may never walk in the fullness of it. You may get excited about it, but the Word of God is more than just words. It's more than just a language. It's more than vocabulary. The Word of God is alive, the Scriptures teach us. Hebrews teaches us the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't know, have you ever had a really sharp knife? You ever tried to cut a tomato with a dull knife? Anybody in the house? You can't cut it. What happens to it? You make tomato juice out of it because it requires something sharp in order to cut it. And the Word says that His Word is like a two-edged sword, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword you could imagine. Think about a two-edged sword as it cuts both ways. It doesn't matter which way you swing it. Either way, it's going to cut whatever it comes into contact with. And he said, but my word is sharper than that. So what my word does is it divides. Okay, my word, prophetic word. If you understand the prophetic word, you'll walk in it more expeditiously. You'll understand it more profoundly. You will see it right in front of your face. Even in some of the most trying times, the image of that word will become very brilliant, very vibrant, very alive. You'll see all the specifics, all the details, all the intricacy, all the glory of that word. The word of God is alive. That means it's something very powerful and it's something very valuable. But there's something that has to be mixed with the word, and the word calls it faith. It says there were people that received the word. They received promise, but because they didn't know how to, they didn't understand. It wasn't mixed with faith. Good meaning, good-hearted people. They just didn't walk in it because they didn't see it. Jesus said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And how are we empowered by the Holy Spirit? I mean, because we speak in tongues? Well, that's a great thing to do. I do it all the time. I love to speak in tongues. But is that what empowers us? Well, the Word teaches us that it actually lifts us up. It admonishes. It's an encouragement to us. It's a strength on the inside. And that's a good thing. And like Paul said, you should speak in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all, but you should pray that you would prophesy. And prophecy is an understanding of what God is saying. Prophecy is an image of the will of the Father. Prophecy is an image of the will of the Father. Prophecy is an image of the will of the Father. It exists in His image. And it's important to understand it. So the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, you need to hear me and don't make me shout in order to get this, because I can shout. And the Spirit of God is the one that teaches you the heartbeat of what the Word of God is. And it goes from image to living, breathing. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. What does it do? It divides, separates asunder, or divides the two between soul and spirit. That buck and a half worth of chemistry that makes you happy or sad or anxious or confident or whatever it is, sometimes that's what we think is the Spirit of God. If we're confident, we say, well, that must be the Spirit of God. No, the Spirit of God teaches your spirit to be confident, and then your chemistry falls in line with it, and peace comes. But when you're at peace because things are going well, you can't call that the peace of God. That's chemistry saying there's no alarms, there's no alerts, there's no warnings going off, so we're okay. But you know whether or not you're walking in the peace of God or you're walking in confidence by chemistry. When something challenging comes up and your chemistry takes authority over your life. And we're going to call that a new vine. A new vine. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. Most of you probably don't. There are new vines of any kind. New trees. But let's call it new vines since that's what Jesus called them. There are vines. In John 15, he said, I am the vine. And he said, and you are the branches. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And he said, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, and it brings more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. You have to receive it. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you except you abide in me. And if you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it will be done for you. By this the Father is glorified. By what? That you bear much fruit. And so prove that you are disciples. Let me break it down real simple. Jesus said, you can't do anything worth doing unless you do it through me. And you won't know that it is being done unless I do it through you. Unless I do it through you. So often it's been said that nature teaches us. We learn by nature. Anyone ever heard that? Nature teaches us. We learn by nature. But who taught nature? Who taught nature? And in order to learn by nature, what do you have to do? Pay attention. Pay attention. And who taught nature? God's nature. God's nature taught nature. And God introduces His nature to nature in Genesis, and He tells nature what to do by the Word of God. Now, nature in itself has a nature, but it's a driven nature, based on its created design, and that's pretty amazing too. And God said this to Adam. He said, I'm giving you dominion over all the earth. Everything that exists in the earth. But God wasn't just talking about animals and birds and fish and plants and trees. He was talking about the nature, the human nature, the nature that you have. And this is where prophecy comes alive. This is where prophecy, let's say you can expedite the visual of prophecy. You can see the image come alive and live and breathe, that prophetic word come alive and live and breathe. So this is what happens first. The Word of God comes. What does it do? It divides. It separates. From what? Your soul, your feeling, your emotion, and your spirit. The will, the purpose, the creative power of God that works on the inside of you. So why didn't God just separate it in the beginning and just give you spirit? Because there is something called nature that has to come by way of revelation, by way of understanding. Even a vine, a grapevine. The Word talks about grapevines. Jesus says, I am the vine in John 15, verse 1. And he says, and my Father is a vine dresser. What does that mean? Jesus said, well, I'm where everything comes from. All nature comes through me, from me, by me, and for me. And it glorifies me. And when I'm glorified, God's saying, if I can share that with you, then you and I become one in the nature. Jesus said this, the nature of God. Jesus said, Father, make them one even as we are one. Now, you and I both know we're going to have difference of taste, difference of takes on experiences, different ideas, a lot of different things. But we can come together in agreement with one thing. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. So when God speaks His Word into your life, He divides. His Word divides your soul from your spirit. We want God to do a new thing. We just said that, right? God, I want you to do a new thing. Anyone want God to do a new thing? Maybe you've been sick and you want a new thing. You want to be healed. Maybe you've been broke and you'd like a new thing. You'd like to be wealthy. You'd like to be blessed. And maybe you felt tired. You'd like a new thing. You'd like to be excited. Or maybe you'd like God to do something that would just transform your entire life because you just need a new thing. Because it's your design. So the first thing that happens is the Word of God comes and it's going to divide your chemistry and your emotions from your spirit so you know the difference. So you know how to be led by the Spirit. God says, I'll lead you in the way, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. He said, I will counsel you and my eye will be upon you. I will counsel you and my eye, I'm watching you. I'm watching you. God saying, well, I've given you my word. I'm watching you. I'm watching over my word. I'm watching you. I've given you dominion over all the earth. You can take dominion over everything and anything, but you need to do it by the Spirit, and you can't do it if you're not divided, if you can't discern between what is good and what is bad, what is flesh and what is spirit. The flesh gets upset. The flesh gets afraid. The flesh runs. The flesh hides. The flesh is unsure, but the Spirit is not. So it's not like God has to come down and do this incredible work in you. He made you this way. God made us human. He made us mankind. So God could give mankind, just like He gives vines and trees, nature. So we could operate according to the spirit of God's nature. And then He does something incredible. He'll give you a prophetic word. Someone may actually prophesy to you by the word of the Lord, by the Spirit of God, according to their faith, and according to the gift that God has given them, they may prophesy to you. And that person that's prophesying to you, be assured that God has divided them by His word and by the word He gave them. By the word He gave them personally and by the word He gave them to give to you. And how does He do that? With instruction, with counsel. I want a new thing. You ever bought a new thing? I remember years ago, actually not that long ago, we saw some really cool furniture. I think it was from my daughter. And you can look it up on the internet, and it's, wow, it's great, it's beautiful, it just looks amazing. You order it, and it comes to your house, and it doesn't look anything like that. There is no dresser, there is no bed, there's pieces, just parts and screws and boards. It doesn't look anything like a bed. It doesn't look anything like a dresser. It doesn't look anything like it. And you go, what in the world is this? I did that. What is this? That looks nothing like the image on the picture. This is not the image that I bought. What is this? I have to put this together? No, it's there. I pay attention now. If it says assembly required, I pay them to do it. No, not always, because I do enjoy doing some of those things. But it didn't look the same. Same thing. God wants to do a new thing. But with every new thing God does, instructions are included. I will counsel you in the way you should go. I'm going to lead you in the way you should go. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to teach you how to think about who He is and not about what you need. When you think about what you need God to do for you, and when you think about what you need Him to do for you instead of what He wants to do through you, then the instructions, it's like I did when it first came. I'm not reading all those instructions. Instructions anymore. Instruction manuals are terrible. I don't know where they come from. I don't think they speak the human language. Or there is no language. It's just a bunch of arrows and pieces. And it's like, but you need to know, because B and C have to come together. So A should go first, right? A, B, C. Not necessarily. Because the instructions may say, do C first and then B. So A works. So you go, no, I don't need that. I'll figure this out. And you put A, B, C together, and guess what you do? Because you're going to save time if you're not reading the instructions. What do you end up doing? Tearing it apart. So you can do it according to the instructions. Because the one that built that thing and then tore it apart knows how to put it together. But the whole point is, when something comes together in your hands, you become a part of it and it becomes a part of you. You understand it inside and out. You know what it took to do that. God said, I am the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And He said, this is where God is glorified, and this is where you enter into the glory of God. This is where you become one with the glory of God. And I want to tell you something, you need that or you're going to get bored. You need it to stay hungry. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul longs after you. See, there is revelation in the Word, but you have to read the Word. You have to hunger for the Word. You need to know what to be hungry for, so you're empowered by what you eat and not made sick by it. So you're strengthened by what you eat and not made weak by it. You ever just eaten a lot of sugar because it just tasted so good? And then you felt so bad 30 minutes later. It's not what you need, it's what you want. God tells you what you need. Pretty simple, right? Pretty straightforward. But how does God do a new thing? Not without instruction. Why? Because new means unfamiliar. I'm not familiar with that. God wants to do a new thing. God, do a new thing in my life. Get ready for instructions and be excited about them. The scriptures say, I delight in the instruction of the Lord. That was David's heart. I delight in the instruction of the Lord. I like it because I've learned that to apply the instruction, the word of the Lord. People just want God to speak and then just do it. Well, you won't see it when it happens because it's not a part of who you are. You won't even recognize it. And when it begins, you won't know that it's begun. You'll doubt that God's even doing it, because the part of the nature that is the growth part in you, that takes part in you, so you become one with it. Why? So God can bless you according to His nature, not yours. He said the human nature is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It won't see it. It doesn't understand it. It can't. It never will. But the law of the Spirit of life has made you free from the law of sin and death. What is that? The nature of man that denies God is doing anything when He's doing everything. So what do I do? Get hungry for instruction. Instruct me, Lord, in the way I should go. He said, I will lead you. Literally, the Greek, I will instruct you in the way you should go. Why did this happen to me? Well, because you didn't follow the instructions, more than likely. But still God will teach you in the offset. Still God will say, this is the direction you should take. And you may look and say, I'm a long ways away. And God will say, listen, if you follow the directions, you won't have to keep tearing your life apart. And things will come together. God said He would bless you. And the minute God releases that word to you, the minute you hear it, that word is active in you. And the minute God gives you a word, you are responsible for keeping that word as part of your nature. It's called faith and obedience. Faith without works is dead, being alone. You can hear the word, but if it doesn't become a part of your nature and you don't nurture it, you'll never see it, even though it is at work and alive on the inside of you, because what it is doing is unfamiliar to you. Because God is doing a new thing. What is new? I'm not familiar with it. Old can become new. The word says we put off the old man and we put on the new man. Old can become new in many ways. We backed out of our garage the other day. My neighbor, he always has a different car, and he likes Porsches, so he always has a different Porsche. And he's always doing something. He's always under it, behind it, on top of it, inside of it, under the hood. He's always doing something. He's a really great guy. And I backed out of my driveway and rolled down my window because he had one I hadn't seen yet. I was unfamiliar with it. And I said, "What you got there?" And he said, "A new car." And I said, "Oh, cool. What year is it?" He said, "It's 2006. He said, "Well, it's not new." Which was it? Was it not new or was it new? It was new. Why? Unfamiliar. It's new. And he said, "I think this one is going to take the place of that one. That's a 2005. This is 2006. I'm going to get rid of that one and I'm going to keep this one." That's what he does all the time. And he said, "But it doesn't run." I said, "I know you. You'll have it up and running in no time and you'll be driving it up and down the street." And he will. The point is you can make old new. You can make old new. If you'll receive the unfamiliar that God is introducing to your life, don't ask God to do a new thing, to do something new, to bring to pass. Prophecy is about a future event. It's the image of a future event. Do you understand that before that thing unfolds the way you want it to, you're going, in order to be a part, in order to facilitate all that it has to offer to you, in order to understand it, you're going to have to be instructed in the way of that word. It will introduce things into your life. It will introduce a nature that you are unfamiliar with. And in doing so, it will change yours. Be not conned into a form, or be not conformed to the world. How? Be willing to be instructed with something because of something you are unfamiliar with. Now, many times we don't like what is unfamiliar because we don't feel that we have control. We go and we go someplace or do something because we are, a lot of people go to church because they just are familiar. You should go to church where you're challenged. For when you leave the house, you feel like, "Man, I feel like I've been challenged to do something that I may not even be comfortable with, but it's challenging me." And it is the Word of God. And it makes me feel insufficient and empowered at the same time. Insufficient and empowered at the same time. What is that? Dividing asunder soul and spirit. It's what the Word of God does. It tells your natural nature, "You can't do this." And your spirit rises up and says, "But I can." That's called dominion. You're taking dominion over the earth, and God says, "Now I can bless the earth." Because you have taken dominion, because you received the dividing word of the Lord. Don't be afraid of instruction. As David said, "I delight in being instructed by you." God says, "I will teach and instruct you, and I will counsel you, and my eye will be upon you. I'm going to watch you and see." What fortifies you in that is to know and believe. Number one, God is holy. He's perfect in all his ways, and he loves you, and he's leading you. He said, "I will lead you in the way you should go." Or, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me where I am supposed to go." He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will lead you." So you have to believe that. Not sometimes. That soul and spirit trying to live together. And the word says they can't. They don't like each other. They don't get along very well. The only way to live happy is when your spirit is taking dominion over your soul. You will never know the power of the will of God until you exercise his will over your own. And that's a blessing from God. I'm going to exercise your will over my will. I love this. James, count it all joy when you fall into the different types of the trying of your faith, knowing it's there on purpose, for a purpose. It's there to make you complete, whole, entire, understanding, seeing, knowing, lacking nothing, nada. I have all things that pertain to life. And I have it all through Christ who redeemed me, saved me, filled me, and empowered me. Something happens on the inside. Health and strength starts fortifying your shell, your house, your body. Peace comes into your mind. You start thinking straight. You start thinking powerful. The righteous thoughts of God begin to infiltrate and flood your mind. God's word eclipses your will. And it's just like, God is so God. And then true worship comes out of you. True worship shouldn't have to be driven from you. True praise shouldn't have to be driven from you. It's something that we are excited to do. I delight in your instruction. I delight in your word day and night. I have found my place of refuge, peace, and power. And then God does something incredible. He gives you the nations as an inheritance. I'll tell you what God's doing right now, right here at this time. He's making an introduction and asking you what you think about it. What do you have to say about the introduction of this time? What do you have to say? He gave Adam the entire world, one man and one woman, and said, take dominion. That's God. He'll give it all to you. He'll give it all to you. If that's what God has called you to do, He'll give whatever He's called you to do. And God's called you to have dominion over all of whatever it is He has anointed you to do. Whatever it is. But you can't decide what that is. But God will tell you what that is. He will show you what you are anointed to do. Remember, He said, I will instruct you. I will lead you. He will tell you. I want you to erupt and shout just for a second. Yeah. Too late, you're done. I got very interested in vines, all different types of vines. But I'm going to talk about a grapevine because that's what Jesus talked about a great deal. And there are different types of vines, a variety, lots and lots and lots of different grapes. We think of grapes and you think of a grape. Some grapes taste really good. Some grapes taste really not so good. The outside tastes one way. The soft, meaty part tastes another, and the seed tastes another. There's like a triad in every grape, an experience of a Trinity experience in every grape. The shell, the meat, and the seed. And they all taste different. And they all have different benefits, different vitamins they offer, and introduce different experiences to your palate. Someone once told me, take a grape. They actually said, go out, pick a grape, take it, and taste the skin, just the skin. Now taste the meat. Now bite the seed. Three different experiences out of one grape, a Trinity. God's nature is in everything He created because He created everything for His purpose and His pleasure, which means everything in nature has a message for you. It has something that your palate is supposed to experience so you understand the nature of God in the thing you're experiencing. Paul said it like this. He said, whatever state I find myself in, I make myself to be content. How would he do that? Lord, whether I live or whether I die, it's all unto you. You're God over all, in all, and through all. To you be glory, honor, and praise. God, your will be done. That's where your joy is. That's where your sanity is. That's what your peace of mind is. That's where your health is. That's where your strength is. That's where your youth is. It's all in the kingdom of God. And those dynamics are going to change our world today because God has introduced some ideas to us. And He's saying, what do you have to prophesy about these things? What do you have to say? And I say, God, the earth is yours. And the fullness thereof, the world, and all they that dwell therein, be glorified in them all. Make them all tell the truth, whether they want to or not. Let them be confused in their own tongue by their own language until you begin to speak through them and let everyone know, expose everyone for who they are like you said you would, and be glorified in it. Make the truth known. Show the evil for the evil and the just for the just, the righteous for the righteous and the unrighteous for the unrighteous, and then God, do a work, throw them all in a vat and do whatever pleases you. But God, not my will, your will be done, because you reign and you rule as Lord of lords and King of kings. The question is, what do you say? I'm afraid, I'm unsure, I don't know. Dear God, don't let this. Or are you saying God is in the midst of the nations of the earth? He is Lord and God and King and Governor and Prince of Peace over it all. He's doing a wonder. He's doing a wondrous work, and his voice will be heard through everyone, whether they want to, like it or not, because you have prayed the word and the prayer of the Lord by faith, and God has honored you. Why? Because he's given you dominion. Why? Because I received instruction that divided my soul and my spirit. I'm not making a judgment call based on what I feel, even though I feel it. When you bite the center of a grape and you bite the seed, it's bitter. It doesn't taste very good. But if you chew it all together, it gives it somewhat of a different flavor. It's all a part of the whole. And the bitter part is the future of the grape. So don't despise it. Plant it. Bury it. Let it die under the Lord, whatever that emotion is. If you want a future to the fruit, plant the bitter part. Plant the seed. Watch God do a wonder. And in that seed is the sweetness of the grape. You just have to watch it transform and mature into what it's called and created to be. And that's who you are. That's exactly who we are. We are the planting of the Lord. We are the fruit in the season. We are the delight of the Lord. He said, I will plant you like a vineyard in whom I delight myself in. This is the greatest season of your life. This is a time unlike any other. God will introduce something to you that may feel terrifying or sad or uncertain, to see what you will do with it. How will you command this situation so I can give you the kingdoms? See, what you want that you haven't had is unfamiliar to you. Just like Dave in his car. It's new. Well, I mean, it's new to me. It's new. Well, it's not new, but it's what it is new. Now the old became new because you have it and you're unfamiliar with it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the unfamiliar? What are you going to do with the introduction that God has given you? And I want to tell you this, until you do, you go around the circle over and over and over until you say, God, this is not about me. It really is. I've said it religiously, but God, now I'm saying it honestly. It's really about you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Instruct me, Lord, in the way that I should go. Be glorified, be seen. God, show me your glory, and let me, by your Spirit, reveal the glory that I see. There's where your kingdom is. There's where your authority is. There's where your peace is. There's where your power is. There's where your family is. There's where your fulfillment is, right there. Plant the bitter seed. Make it an offering unto the Lord. I sow this according to your word. That's the future. And I'm not afraid of it, and I don't despise it. I embrace it because I embrace you. You are the nature of it. God made the bitter seed just like he made the sweet grape. And just like he made the tannins in the skin, God made it all. It's all a part of his nature. And you'll note something very incredible. From the earth to the highest star, the highest heavens, everything is bound by a trinity of objects, a trinity of laws, a trinity of things. God is in everything. The word says only a fool looks up and says there is no God. Only a fool. Don't be a fool. Not calling you one. I'm just encouraging you not to be one. And then the word says something else incredible. It says your wonders, your mysteries, your glory is seen in your creation. Wherever you are, whatever your grape, whatever your seed is right now, you have to say this: Lord, you're God over the trinity of it all. You're God over the shell. You're God over the skin. You're God over the meat. You're God over the sweetness. You're God over the bitter. Be Lord over it all and in me all and through me all. To you be glory, honor, and praise. Let it flow from me. Out of my belly, let rivers of life-giving water come. God will do a new thing, but it's always going to come with instructions because new is unfamiliar. God is introducing us today to unfamiliar. Our nation is about to step into the unfamiliar. There's going to be a torrent wind. I prophesied this several years ago, and this is going to be a change unlike anything we've experienced to present date. God is making the unfamiliar familiar. Why? He said he's going to do a new thing. He says, I'll show you water in the desert. I'll show you an oasis where there wouldn't normally be an oasis. I'll show you things you hadn't seen. He said, I'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Get excited about the way. God is about to take things apart and say, do it according to my instruction. Do it according to my word. Do it according to my will. God called Moses. And he said, Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses had a staff that he had become very familiar with. And God spoke to him, and God said, I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you my word. I'm going to tell you about things, some things you're excited about. The skin of the grape, the meat of the grape, you're excited about it. And some things you're not excited about, and that's the bitterness of the seed. But the seed is the future. And God says, so what are you going to do? Are you going to look at the seed and despise the bitterness of the seed? Are you going to leave it on top? Are you going to leave it in a box? Are you going to put it in a bag? Are you going to put it on a shelf? Are you going to wait for God to just take it away? Are you going to throw it away? Are you going to give it away to somebody else? Or are you going to plant it and say, this is the future? God, whatever it is that seems like it's invisible is your kingdom. Because God, you are an invisible God making manifest the very image of who you are. God gives you a word and it sounds great. The image is like that cabinet. It just looks and it sounds amazing. It sounds great. And it's at a great price. But when it comes to you, you have to read the instructions. You have to hear the word of the Lord in your heart and know when God gives you a word, he's going to do a work on the inside. He's going to take that seed and it may taste bitter. So plant it. Go ahead and taste one and plant the other and say, this bitter seed, I'm going to plant it under the Lord. This is the word of God in me. This is my future. This is what God has said. Lord, do the work in me. Do the wonder in me that you will to be done. Let the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, let your will and your wisdom take dominion over who I am and be glorified through all I am, all I say, and all I do. God, transform me in such a way that I can't think about anything but your word. That I can't walk in anything but your word. That I can't walk in anything but your will. Moses, what do you have in your hand? I have a staff. God said, I'm going to make you unfamiliar with what you've been carrying for a long, long time. Matt Crouch, God says, I'm giving you a staff to rule over nations, but it's not you or your power. It's my power giving you something you're unfamiliar with. Something you cannot handle. So throw it down and watch what God does. It'll turn into the serpent, but don't despise the serpent. Take it by the tail, God says. And what does that mean? Go ahead and take by the tail what looks fearful. Don't jump away from it. Say, God has given me dominion. Take it up by the tail. And the minute that you lay hold on it, saying, this is the kingdom of God being built right here, right now. This is the platform God has called me to build. And I will not despise the days of beginning. I will not despise the foundation upon which it will stand. But I will say of the Lord, God, you have put this staff in my hand to rule as a king and as a prince in the earth. And I will glorify you with it. And God will do exactly as he said, because he has introduced unfamiliar things to you. Unfamiliar faces, unfamiliar voices. And God through it will be glorified. And by that, the king's court will bow and play music and song to the glory of God that is made manifest just because you have believed. You have dared believe God has said it. And you've desired to rejoice and delight in the instruction in the law of the Lord. Instruction is coming. Receive it with gladness. And the changes God will make will be the stability of the kingdom and the height of its walls and the width and the depth of its purpose and of its power. And it will become a legend for you. And it will become a voice of stability and strength that will not fade away because God has said it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. there are people that insist upon the word of God. The man I just prophesied to is one of them. Insist on the word of God. I insist on your word. I insist that you speak to me. I insist that you reveal your word to me and through me. Cecilia, it is the glory of God that will affect change in your family. It is the glory of God that will draw the spirit of willingness out of your grandson. It is the spirit of the Lord, by his glory revealed through you, that will nurture and that will court the hearts of those you have prayed for, those you have prophesied for, those you have rebuked for. The glory of God is your answer. The glory of God is the wooing and the drawing of their heart. Be confident. The glory of God clothes you, covers you, keeps you, leads you, guides you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is your strength. Even the memory of what you have said will never part from their minds. Because it is alive, and it is powerful, and it is quick. Don't fear. The Lord is over it all, and he rules over it. You pray, you seek, you call. God answers. Father, we worship you, we praise you, we love you, we glorify you. He is one God in all goodness forever. Bless his name. I see the glory of the Lord filling places that you would dare step and speak and build upon by faith. Whatever it is that God has given you to do, you step, you build by faith. God will raise up the walls. He'll build the roof and the ceiling. He will finish it inside and out. And the Lord will fill it with his presence. Those temples you are, that's who and what you are. This is the day God has made, and in it we can't help but rejoice and be exceedingly glad. God has gone over the nations of the earth, and he has given them to us as heirs. We are the heirship of God's will and promise and authority and purpose and power. Old vines, old grapevines, are the most desirable. They're the most mature. They aren't young grapevines because, again, young vines just want to produce as much as they can. But old grapevines are all about the quality and not the quantity. And old vines learn by the instruction of the nature that God has placed on the inside of them. They learn through time that as they age, they do things so they're not taken by surprise. That's you. He says that the days that are coming won't come like a surprise to you, won't come like a thief to you. It may be a lot of people, but it won't come to you that way. Because you are a branch connected to the vine. So you, in essence, are part of the vine. If you see a grapevine, you don't think that where the grapes hang, that it's different than the vine. It's just all one. We are one in Christ. And an old grapevine is the most desirable because it has the best berries. It has the best tasting grapes. It has the most flavor. It has the most character. And the reason that it does is because it received instruction. When it's hot, it grows bigger leaves than the small. It doesn't care about just producing a ton of grapes. It just wants the best, and it's all it has to offer. You will be known by your fruit. And an old vine learns to traverse the territory, not just on top, but under the ground. It learns how to go around rocks, how to find ways between rocks, how to find deep soil. So all the nurturing nature of the soil goes into the roots, and guess what happens? The character of the wine becomes more vivid, more bright, more alive, because the grape is more alive. The grape has more character. Why? Because it goes down deep. So how does a young vine become an old, wise vine? There was a time Jesus was in Canaan of Galilee, and the word says that there was a wedding, and his mother had been invited, and he also was invited, so he went to Canaan. And at a point in time, the word says that they ran out of wine, so Jesus' mother comes to Jesus and says to him, "We have no more wine." Jesus says something very interesting. He says, "Why do you trouble me with this? This is not my concern." He said, "My time isn't yet." Something I find very interesting. Jesus said, "It's not time yet." The mother says to everyone around, "Do whatever he says," and goes away. She time traveled. Her faith moved Jesus just like the centurion soldier did. Time changed. And that wasn't the end of it. Jesus said, "Go get the purifying vessels and bring them to me." And each one would contain about 30 to 40 gallons of water, and that's what was in them, water, that they washed their hands. It was to be used for purifying. And he said, bring them. So they brought these purifying vessels to Jesus, and he turned them into wine. Turn water into wine. You ever done that? But he said, "It is not my time. Why are you troubling me with this? This is not my issue." I kind of wonder what was going on. Jesus says, "I don't want to do this." Or was Jesus saying, "What are you going to say? What do you have to say about it? Who do you call on? What do you say?" So his mother prophesied and said, "He's going to do it. Just bring him whatever he says." And time moved forward. Time advanced. So he turned water into wine. When he took it to the man, if you will, the host of the house, he said to them, he drank some of the wine, and he didn't know where it came from. The guys that brought it to him knew where it did, and I can only imagine what they may have been going. "We bring this guy water for wine, and this may be the last wedding we attend. But she said, do whatever he says. We're going to do whatever he says." They bring it to him. He dips in it, and it's wine. Then he tastes it, and he says, "This is unusual. I'm unfamiliar with weddings in this temperance, in this tone, because normally they bring the best wine first, and then when everyone can't tell the difference because they've had too much of the best wine, then they bring the cheap wine. And you can't tell the difference because you can't tell your right hand from your left hand." And he said, "But you brought the best last." In order for that to have been the best wine, it had to come from an old vine. And an old vine takes time. An old vine takes the character of years of climate and understanding how to prepare for that climate. And he did it without any of the above. Time had no effect on what Jesus did. He did the best right up front, and that's what he's going to do for you. The best right up front. Without time as a delay. Without the roots having to go deep in the earth. All the character of deep roots was in that wine. Without the climate change throughout the seasons that nurtures the roots, you know why roots go deep? They want for water. And they have learned not to wait for surface water. So they don't know, as the word says, you are the planting trees planted by the rivers of water. So whether it's heat or rain, come rain, shine, snow, you stay the same. That's the wine Jesus made. And he did it without an old vine. He did it without deep roots. He did it without climate. He did it without season. He did it without time. Because he is the nature of the vine. And he's the nature of your vine. He's the nature of your vine. You are part of the vine. We are in an expeditious time. We are in a time travel time. We are in an expedient time. And gravity is demanding that we go deep for lack of surface water. Do you hear me? What do we do then to become an old vine when we're a young vine? Go deep. Don't depend upon the surface text or what lies on top, but go deep. Give God your offering of praise. Worship the Lord with all your heart. Glorify God. Stop your complaining. And don't complain and say, I don't mean to complain. Your soul needs to complain. It wants to. It likes to. It enjoys it. But your spirit needs to take dominion over your complaining soul so your chemistry will come into order so God can orchestrate your body according to his kingdom and his power. So God can show you the depth of your root and give you, make you the best fruit. Herein is the Father glorified, that you bear good, the best fruit, and that you continue to do it over and over and over. We are not in perilous times. We're in prophetic times. We're not in hard times. We're in powerful times. We're not in fearful times. We're in fearless times. We are the redeemed by the blood of the land, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God says, I will call Israel my vineyard and Judah my vine, my fruit, my grape, my wine in which I delight. It is the intoxication of the Spirit of the Lord. You'll be filled with His Spirit and you will prophesy. In the day of Pentecost, they didn't act like themselves. They were overcome by the glory of God. And the Word says this happened and it will happen today through what God has called you to do. Matt Crouch, you have to do it with your whole heart in full faith and confidence, knowing God is with me in it all. He has placed me here. They will call you blessed. They will call you the chosen. They will call you the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They will become intoxicated by the wine you drink from. The wine of the Spirit of God that takes you beyond time, climate, season, and surface. Will fill you with the inspiration of His Spirit. Take you into unfamiliar territory. And say, surrender here to my will. And do what I call you to do. And don't be afraid. Step in with the robes of a king. In the spirit of praise. And put off the spirit of heaviness. Don't run in order to praise. Don't go somewhere else. Stand where you stand and praise right there. Take dominion over the moment you're standing in. so you know what it feels like to have dominion no matter where you go, and you're going to some very unfamiliar places. You're walking in some very strange territory. Without compromise of any kind, you'll find the favor of the righteous and the unjust. Because they are in awe of your intoxication by the Holy Spirit. It is no longer I, but Christ that lives in me. His message is not about wine. It's about nature. The nature of the Spirit of God in you. Jesus said, here's the analogy. Then he said, this is my blood. Take and drink it. And what did he do? He gave them juice from the grape. And he said, drink all of it. This is my blood. It's a part of you now. Jesus introduced his nature to the vine. And he's introducing his nature to you, the vine. So your fruit is rich, delightful, intoxicating, empowering. People will be moved by your anointing. They will be moved by the presence of God in you. When Samuel's mother prayed, the priest came up and said, are you intoxicated? She said, no, not like you think. But she was intoxicated by faith in Christ. The world cannot give you what you're looking for. You're not going to find it in any form of trying to get higher intoxicated in the world. There's no place for you to run. There's no place for you to hide. But the Spirit of God will take dominion over you, and he will overwhelm you. And this is the season of being overwhelmed. I see people so filled with praise and confidence that nothing bothers them, so they take dominion over everything. This is a generation that will walk upon the soil of this earth which we now trod. And time is not the issue. Will you be as Jesus' mother and say, this is the time? Will you move the heart of God? Are you willing to make heaven restless today? The centurion, heal my son. Jesus said, I'll come. He said, no, just speak it right here. Let's do away with time. Why? Because the nature of time is in Christ. I am the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He which was, which is, and which is to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Stand with me, vines. How does a young wine, a young vine, become wise and strong, filled with good fruit? Go deep, like an old vine. Go deep. How quickly can you go deep? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Lord, I repent of me. I surrender to you. You will never know the true power of God. You will never know the power of his will until you exercise his will over your own. And the moment you do, life is going to change in an incredible way. And here's what's so wonderful. All along, when you're walking by faith in what God has said for you to do, all the time, you can't fall. Your well can't go dry. And you can't run out, because God is leading you in the way you should go. He is the deep well on the inside of you. He is the deep well. He is the deep root. He is the aged vine. He is the leaves of protection. He is the shadow that covers you. He is the fruit. He is the new wine. He is the good wine. He is the old wine. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lord in all, through all, and to God be glory in it all. I'm telling you, this is the greatest season of your life. I pray for you. I pray for you today. I pray that you were so overcome You feel intoxicated by the Spirit of God. It simply means that you become numb to your fear, to your pain, to your dread. And you are so filled with the Spirit of God, all you can do is praise and pray and prophesy and reiterate the prophetic word of the Lord. Become one with that word, making it a part of who you are. Your fruit will be so good, people will want to taste what you pour. Get ready to pour. Out of you will flow rivers of life-giving water. Father, we give you praise, and it all for it all. To you, God, be the honor and the glory and the power in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted. Father, we worship you today, and we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fullness of your word. Thank you for the fullness. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Before anything really, really bad happens, something really, really good is going to happen. A lot of really, really good things. And because a lot of really, really good things are going to happen, the really, really bad things won't happen. So fear not. The good fruit, the good productivity, the good thing is happening. And Leanne, you've just walked through a time and a season where God says, what do you say about this? And you chose to say right. And you may say, how long did it take? There was no time. No matter how long we think, God becomes the time. The moment we say, yes, Lord, then there is no delay of time. You have felt suspended for a season. God takes you out of suspension. When you move your legs, you will make passage from one point to another. And you will see what God has promised you on the inside. Come to the outside and you will look at that image completely finished. And you will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Look what God has done. Some move is taking place. Some change is coming. And some new fruit, an unfamiliar fruit, is being introduced to you. Because you're ready for a new thing. You're ready to live in the life God has put in your heart to live, and you don't have to go far. He's put it on the inside of you. It just is coming out, so you may know it and see it. October is a month of fruit you hadn't anticipated. Like an autumn, fall season. The leaves of the trees are going to change color. The fruit that only comes out at this time, have some. And say of the Lord, this is a new day. The unfamiliar has become very familiar to me. And because I read the instruction, I've been instructed of the Lord. I know what to do in this season. And in that time, God will propel you because it is uncommon to you. The month of October is a different month for you. And in that different season, that unfamiliar season, God's going to do something new. And you'll see spring come in the middle of winter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, we give you praise. We love, we worship, we thank you.